The scripture reading this morning is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 13, and verses 26 and 27. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one, just as he determines. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. This ends the reading of the Holy Word.
Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for this opportunity to worship. We thank you for the reality and the promise and the hope that comes with the creation of the world and the creation of this church and the creation of each one here and those connected in. Lord, it is this creation that you gather together to be the church in this place and many other places throughout the world. And to be the church, Lord, may we just explore this passage this morning and take from it what it means to be the church and what it means to share our gifts and our talents to glorify you. In Christ we pray, amen. I do keep a database of sermons. Unfortunately, when I started that database, it was saved on those 5 1/4 floppy disks, which I can't read anymore. That's how old I am with computers. And so things have changed, but I have gone back and I've looked and I have preached on 1 Corinthians chapter 12 a few times and focused in on some of the gifts that are highlighted here. And today we're not going to necessarily look at the gifts themselves, but we're going to look at what it means to be the body of Christ. We are continuing in the sermon series on a statement of faith and what we are learning from Scripture on what it means to have faith in Christ. And last week we looked at the Bible, the source of truth and the source of knowledge. And today we are looking at the church as the body of Christ on earth. And as we look at this passage, we didn't read the whole thing, so I do encourage you, challenge you, to look at chapter 12 in its entirety. It's this afternoon or sometime this week, and read it in full. But we are going to focus in on the truth of verse 27. You are the body of Christ. You are the body of Christ. Paul was writing that to the Corinthian Christians, and in the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that is being said to us, not just at St. John's Christian Church, but all the churches of the world. You are the body of Christ. You are the church. Now, there's church with capital C and there's church with small c. Normally, church with capital C means the church universal. Churches all around the world that believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And this letter is written towards the universal church, and it's also written to the local church, small c. So it's encompassing all aspects of the church, the community of Christian believers throughout the world. And 1 Corinthians chapter 12 offers great insight to how the church needs to be the church. In verses 14 through 25, which we didn't read, Paul makes use of the parts of the body to illustrate how the church is to work together as a unit, not just within the local church, but in the church universal, to work together as a unit. Have you ever thought about living life without your hands? Have you thought about living life without your legs, without your eyes, without your ears, maybe with only one kidney? Because the body of Christ, the church, it can actually live without certain parts as well. But our bodies work better when things function together, and the church functions better when all of its parts are connected. Those parts of the church uniquely designed by God to be a blessing in the church for its particular function. The eyes, they see the food. The hands, they pick up that food. The mouth chews the food. The swallowing mechanisms swallow it. And then the stomach digests the food. Any failure by any of these parts, and you have a problem. As I was reading this, that swallowing mechanism, for about 45 years of my life, I had a swallowing problem. And at the age of 54, I learned that I'm allergic to beef. And I've shared that before. And I still can eat beef now because every morning or every day, I take a little yellow pill that allows my swallowing mechanism to work. But when it didn't work, oh, it was difficult to eat. It was difficult to enjoy food. God designs it to work. Well, in the life of the church, we have all these parts, all these individual people that are designed to work together. What's the point in the hand saying, "It's not fair"? How come the mouth gets to do all the eating? How come I never get to taste any food? Who benefits when the mouth eats? Is it just the mouth? Or what's the point in the big toe saying, "How come the eyes get to see everything and I don't get to see anything?" Who benefits when the eyes see? Is it just the eyes? Of course not. Everyone benefits, and especially the big toe. Because if the eyes are doing their job, the big toe doesn't get stubbed. All the parts working together. And that is in the life of the church. All of the parts, all of the talents, all of the individuals, the people, the believers, the disciples, the apostles working together to help one another. The church. The church grows as people come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Upon faith in Christ, and upon repentance and confession, and upon baptism, a person is added to the church. In Acts 2, verse 41, those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Acts 2, 47, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So there's this growth in the Christian church. And as part of being the church, there's this phrase about the priesthood of all believers. The priesthood of all believers means that each Christian is called to be a serving minister in the church or through the church. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God, called together, the priesthood of all believers. And the church's mission is described very well in Matthew 28, 18 through 20, known as the Great Commission. Then Jesus came to the disciples and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." That is the purpose the definition of the church, to go and make disciples of all nations, to baptize and to teach them to obey everything Jesus has commanded. And when we think about the local church, there are many purposes to the local church. The purpose of a local church is the public worship of God. I just reviewed the amazing and inspirational church constitution with our confirmands this morning. 10 pages of words that I don't know that they've ever heard before, but it gives us the structure. And right there in the church constitution, it says the local church is for the public worship of God. It's for the enlightenment and the education of the saints, and you are the saints. And the purpose of the church is the spread of the gospel. Now, when you talk about church, many people associate what is happening right now as the church, a time of worship. And worship is central to the life of a church, yet there is much more in the organization of a local church. There are planned meetings. In Acts 20, verse 7, on the first day of the week, we came together to break bread. Paul spoke to the people, and because he intended to leave the next day, he kept on talking until midnight. And I know we've talked about this before. There is too much in this chapter to capture, and I could go until midnight, but I want you to still like me as well. But planned meetings are a part of the church. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, there's a chapter that Paul gives on church discipline and what it means to be orderly in church. 2 Corinthians verse chapters 8 and 9 talk about giving and generosity and what that means to be a part of the church. And Hebrews 13 has some verses to recognize the leadership of a church, the pastors and the elders and the deacons and deaconesses. And then lastly, as an aspect of a definition of the local church, is the ordinances that we oversee. The ordinances of baptism and communion and wedding services and funeral services. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 and 13. The body is a unit, and though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we are all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. I read a statement this week that I had not heard before, and it stuck with me, and it's echoing in my mind, and it's probably the key thing that I got out of this sermon. The unity of Christians, the unity of Christians, it is not a goal to achieve. It is not a goal to achieve. Rather, the unity of Christians is a fact to be recognized. That is through the Spirit that we are united in Christ. And we must recognize that in the life of the church. One body, many members. That is the church. The human body helps us understand how the working of the community of Christians works together. Every cell in a human body is linked by a common DNA code. Paul didn't know that, per se, when he wrote this, but we've learned that in today's world through science. Every cell in the human body is linked by a common DNA code. Every Christian in the church, Church Universal, is linked together by a common denominator through the Spirit of God. Now, the parts of our body, our neck, our knees, our back, they look different, and they're treated differently, they work differently, and they have different purposes, but it's one body. There is great diversity in our human bodies, both in appearance and in function, in abilities and in talents. And yet there is one body with a common goal. So it is in the church. So it is with us being Christians and disciples in unity in the church. The unity of the church, the unity of the body of Christ. I believe it's always most apparent to me when I gather with other pastors. And I gathered with the Archbold area pastors this last week, and the person offering devotions and some of our discussion is just an awareness that though we are from different churches in the local area, we serve one Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we experience many of the same things. We have many blessings and we have many trials that we can all relate to because we are part of the unity in the body of Christ. One pastor was sharing how easy it is to be discouraged in today's world. And he's not just talking about pastors, but about Christians. It is easy to be discouraged in today's world. Our culture, he described as getting darker and darker and darker. And many people in discouragement are asking questions, what's the use? What's the point? Does it really matter about life? And if you are a professed Christian, you open yourselves up to attack. Tony Dungy was a person that was cited, former coach of the Indianapolis Colts, a broadcaster, and a strong Christian man. And he got attacked because he attended a March for Life event. Because the world doesn't approve, and that difference is there. And then the pastor shared, the world likes what God calls evil, and the world hates what God calls good. The world likes what God calls evil, the world hates what God calls good. I've been letting that statement also roll around in my brain these last couple of days. And that's described in Scripture, and that's described in culture. Francis Chan, pastor and Bible teacher, wrote something called The Consumer Church. And he says, we live in a culture today where we are used to evaluating and giving our opinion on everything, whether it's the people we ate, an Uber driver we used, the movie we saw, or our friend's picture on social media, everything is set up for us to be able to critique and compare. So in the church, rather than marveling at the incredible mystery that we are a part of God's body, we critique the leadership, the music, the programs, and anything else we can think of. We point out the flaws in our pastor's sermon with the same conviction we critique a movie star's acting or our favorite team's recent loss. Now, I don't get too many critical comments about my sermons, so thank you for that, but there's this reality of disunity in the world. As that invades and pervades the world, it's invading the church. And remember, we are supposed to be united in Christ. Now, we need to hear constructive criticism. And when we offer constructive criticism or criticism as a part of the body of Christ, we need to be a part of the solution. As we read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the Corinthian Christians, they created artificial dividing lines amongst themselves. Jew and Greek, slave or free. But they were not to matter anymore. Paul is writing that all are one in body. And it's the aspect of looking to the common good. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, Paul wrote, now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. The manifestation, it's the display of God's power. It's a clear appearance. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. The gifts that were being shared were not for the individual. They were being shared and given for the common good, for the body of Christ. The common good refers to those facilities or institutions that benefit all members of a given community. The common good contrasts with those things that benefit only specific people in society or individual parts of the community. The common good is a blessing for all. Examples of elements making up the common good include basic rights and freedoms, police and fire departments, national defense, courts of law, highways, public schools, safe food and water, and natural resources. In most cases, providing the elements for the common good requires a degree of individual sacrifice, such as the payment of new taxes or even higher taxes, a sacrifice of ourselves for the common good of the community. Today, many impactful social problems are caused by the lack of failure of essential elements of the thought of the common good. I've got some cultural slogans and some worldview statements that I want to share with you, and I'll say the statement and you tell me where it might come from. An old one maybe is, have it your way. Burger King, move the way you want. I don't know how big that is in this area. That's Uber. Move the way you want. Save money, live better. Walmart, because if you have more money, you're going to naturally live better. Just do it. I mean, you want to do something, just do it. Don't think about obeying the commands that Christ is teaching us. Just do it. A new one that I hadn't heard was belong anywhere. Because we want to belong. That's Airbnb. Belong anywhere. And then maybe the most famous one, there are some things money can't buy. For everything else, there's MasterCard. I mean, accountants like that, don't you? I mean, you don't have the money, just put it on the credit card. I mean, you can do anything you want whether you have the money or not. Those slogans and that worldview is about the individual benefit. It is not about the common good. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and 11, think about the common good. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things, God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. And I want to close with a paragraph that was written for us to understand individually. This is my church. It is composed of people just like me. It will be friendly if I am. It will do a great work if I work. It will make generous gifts to many causes if I am generous. It will bring others into its fellowship if I bring them. Its seats will be filled if I fill them. It will be a church of loyalty and love, of faith and service. If I, who make it what it is, am filled with these, therefore, with God's help, I dedicate myself to the task of being all these things I want the church to be. Praise be to God. Amen.
As mentioned in the sermon, Matthew 28, 19 and 20, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And the song that we're going to sing until the whole world hears you will notice it'll say let us and let we, whatever those pronouns are, but it's collective, it's not individual, it's we as the body of Christ. Please stand as you're able and join with us until the whole world hears.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we praise you for being the creator of the church. You have called each one of us here by your gospel and by your spirit, and you have brought us together, united in Jesus Christ. We confess to you those times that we have not been your church, that we have gone off on our own or thought of ourselves as a better member of your body, or thinking of ourselves as a useless member of the body and become discouraged. Lord, we thank you for all the gifts that you give to the church, the many various gifts that bring life to the church and bring healing and words of wisdom and talents. Lord, by your Spirit, we ask that you help us use those gifts wisely, recognize them, and use them for the help of this place and for our community. Lord, we ask that you be with those members who are weak, those who need healing and encouragement and words of comfort. May we as the body feel what they feel and help them and offer them that comfort that comes in the gospel of your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, for all else as the church, we pray together the prayer that you have taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. You may be seated.
As a body of believers, we are called to share the gospel of Christ. One way that we do that in part is by giving of our offerings. I invite the ushers forward now to gather our tithes and gifts. Lord, we are so grateful for all that you've done for us. We are thankful for the miracles performed for us on a daily basis. Father, we ask that you would bless these offerings that we've brought. Use them to further your kingdom in ways beyond what we can imagine. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Though the teaching of the church is vast, we confess simply together in a unified voice the statement of faith found in your bulletin. We believe that the true church is made up of all who have been justified by God's grace through faith alone in Christ alone. They are united by the Holy Spirit in the body of Christ, of which he is the head. They are charged with sharing the gospel of Christ through words and actions. The church on this earth is a foretaste of the great celebration of praise to come with God eternally. Amen.
Matthew 5:16 says, "Let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." Let our light shine for God this week. Our closing song is "We Are," and following the spoken benediction, we will do the chorus of "We Are."
Of the Father, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the power of the Holy Spirit strengthen you to be the church, wherever you may be. In his name, amen.